It's good to be here and welcome each one to worship with us today. We sang this song at our closing last Sunday night that it's just been going through my mind all week. And I'd like to just read a few words from there. Six 6:31. There is a land of pure delight. I love the author. I love the songs that this author writes. It's just he does so many interesting ones. George Root does a lot of work, or he's written. Isaac Watts actually. The words here and the last half of the last verse. It says, could we but climb where Moses stood and view the landscape o'er, not Jordan's stream nor death's cold flood should fright us from the shore. I'd like to turn this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 34 and read what Moses actually saw when he stood there. Mountaintop experiences are big in our minds for reasons. I remember a number of years ago we were flying out to Seattle and it was a partially cloudy day and we were coming down to land and way up sticking above the clouds was actually the ceiling was at 10,000 feet and so clouds were at 10,000 feet and way up above the clouds was Mount Rainier. It was rising up there about 4,000 feet, so you see this big hump coming above the clouds. And then you could see down occasionally, and you see the valley down below. And it was so tremendous an experience to see that, just that broken up. Every once in a while you could see all the way down to the ground, and it was way, way down there. And so I guess that's the urge that mountain climbers, that's what gives them the fuel to climb mountains, because I don't really have a lot of desire to climb a mountain. And yet, I like to see the view. And so this chapter in Deuteronomy tells us what the Lord showed Moses up there. And the reason I think that the view is a part of the spectacular experience is simply because the distance that you can see. And I know that sometimes on clear days when you go out west, you can see the mountain peaks from even hundreds of miles away. You can see them. Or more than 100 miles at least, you could see a mountain if you recognize it. So anyhow, here in Deuteronomy chapter 34, Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, and the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it to thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and they buried him in a valley, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. You know, this is an exhilarating and a sad commentary in a way, because of the fact that How many times had God promised that he was going to give Israel this land? And now Moses is actually there. He's seeing it. And John read this morning how that God had promised Abraham that he would get it. And now he's just right at the door. But Moses is not going in. And it seems unfortunate for the faithfulness that Moses had and for one sin of disobedience that he was barred from the land of Canaan. And he was excluded from actually stepping foot over Jordan and crossing into this land of Canaan. A God of mercy would do this to a man that has been a faithful servant all these years. You know, I'm sure there's a lot more than just than the surface there. But God had promised this, God had promised Israel, and he had promised that. But, you know, the mercy of God is not something that can be presumed upon. In other words, when God extends his mercy toward us or toward somebody, toward us, let's make it personal, or toward this man that was healed this morning in our Sunday school lesson, it's not something that we can just expect that God is going to show mercy when we've done wrong. Mercy is not to be presumed upon. And God had given Moses very clear instructions on how to get water for the children of Israel when they were cried out, when they were in a very difficult place. In Numbers 20, we have that story about God providing water. But Moses did some very un-Moses-like things there, very human things, though, actually. When he lashed out against the people and he struck the rock and he said, "Must we bring water to you?" Like he is doing it. You know, all of these things were things that went against the holiness of God and against his instruction and against his word. So now here we have Moses standing up there and looking over the land that he's never going to enter. But we don't have any word from Moses that he was bitter, that he was crying out against God for his work. And I don't think there was anything like that. And we have evidence that he is in a very favored place with God, in spite of the fact that God barred him from actually stepping foot into Canaan. And that's the thing that I think is showing the mercy of God in maybe a little different way. We have to think of Moses when Jesus was had a mountaintop experience, and Moses and Elias were there. Moses. Let's read on here in verse 7. It says, "And Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, and his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plain of Moab for 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit and wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, as they did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt and to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and all that mighty, and in all that mighty hand which and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel." So There again, he's saying that Moses, there has never been someone like Moses before that. It's just never before and never again. Well, not before, up to that point. Very interesting prophecy that we have, that the scripture says that there's going to be a prophet that's going to be like unto me, where Jesus was prophesied of Jesus. Moses was saying this, prophesying of Jesus, and so there was one come that was like that, that God saw face to face. But that is what Moses said. He looked over, he saw something that he himself could not enter, but it didn't make him, I don't think it made him bitter, I don't think it made him maybe not even sad. He was at the end of his life, and when that time comes, the looking forward is not necessarily for the individual. It's for the posterity and for the people, and I think that is important. And so, so it's a little easier to understand as Moses was looking forward. It wasn't for himself, but it was for his people that he was rejoicing for. So, in spite of the fact that he was not able to step foot into the land, he was remembered for his walk with God. And when Jesus was here on earth and he met Moses and Elias, those are the two people that God took care of their burial. And they came back to see, be with Jesus at that important time on the mountain. So mountaintop experiences, trust we have some. Maybe we'll experience more in life. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.